You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio. Just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.
I love that, man. We say what we want. So, how's that to start out my show on a Friday morning? Isn't that lovely? And feminine, too, may I say. Good morning. It's Dr. Michelle on the couch. I'm not actually on the couch. But Gina Hendricks is on the couch. Gina, of course, is the host of Love Life Makeovers. And that's every Wednesday morning here on LA Talk Radio at 11 a.m. And she is a matchmaker, a dating coach. This lady knows her stuff. I have so much fun talking to you, Gina, every time that we're together.
Thank you. I do, too.
And I learn a lot, too, which is great.
Oh, come on. All right. Oh,
yeah.
I appreciate that.
Oh, for sure.
You flatter me. Thank you.
Hey, everybody. It's LA Talk Radio. And again, Dr. Michelle with you and Gina Hendricks, host of our 11 a.m. on Wednesday show, Love Life Makeovers. And we've got a lot to be talking about today. We are, of course, as always, talking about relationships and issues. We will be reading a couple of emails from folks as well. I have some stories, dates from hell, Gina.
Love it.
I've
had plenty of those.
I've got a toe licker story.
Oh my. Okay. Okay. You know, just when you think you've heard it all, you just haven't.
Exactly.
There's no end.
Oh gosh. And so if you would like to contact us, let me just get it out there right away. The phone number here on LA Talk Radio, on the air live, go for it. Give us a call. Come on down. Area code 323-203-0815. Once again, 323-203-0815. And of course, you can find me and learn more about me and what I'm about on my website. It's drmichelletherapy.com. DR is just, it's abbreviated. DR Michelle with two L's, therapy.com. Just click on that and find out what I'm all about. And positive life changes, helping you detox from the drama in your life. And I'm talking about, relationships primarily, helping people work through their stuff, which is one of my fortes, and also yours, I understand, as well, Gina.
It is. I'm more of an armchair therapist, I guess.
Cool. Now, that's cool. Armchair and I'm the couch. Gal.
Yes.
Lay down and tell me.
I've just learned my stuff from being in the trenches and making all the mistakes. I mean, I think I've made every mistake you can make, and I've made it a few times, actually.
Well, good for you for being honest about it.
Sure.
You know, here's the dealio. You can be a therapist and get the PhD and all that stuff and not have a clue about life. I mean, you can learn all the book stuff and the theories behind it and the orientations, psychodynamic and humanistic and cognitive behavioral and all that stuff. But if you don't have some life's experience,
I guess that's true.
Hey,
sure.
So what I love is when I'm talking to people on the phone and I'm, before I meet new clients, they're talking to me and they're going, "How old are you?" And, I go, "I've had some life experience." And then they see me and they go, "Oh, you are an old fart."
No.
So in
no, are you kidding?
No. But, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes it helps to have a few years behind
you. Sure. You have some mileage. Mileage,
baby. That's the word. Mileage on my tires. From bad relationships and good relationships and just talking to people.
Do you often talk about your own personal relationship on the show?
Sometimes I do. But mm-hmm. I'm kind of boring, actually, because I have a really good relationship.
But that's good, though. A good story to tell is empowering to people.
It is.
Encouraging.
It is indeed. And I've been married for a long time, and I found a good guy, and we're very... we openly communicate. We've learned how to talk to each other.
How long have you been married?
I'm not telling.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. Too long. No. Honey, if you're listening, I love you. 20 years we've been together.
Wow. That's fantastic.
He's like the soulmate. I'm blessed.
Yeah.
I'm so lucky.
How'd you meet him?
Girlfriend.
Okay.
Hey, have I got a guy for you?
What?
That kind of thing.
Really?
And I went, right.
And it worked out. That's awesome.
We actually did business together before we met. She wanted me to do a business transaction. She goes, "Okay, just meet him and do this. Have him give you a loan
for your home because that's what he does. He owns his own company. And I went, I don't want one of these L.A. young business guys who's a young rising media heavy who thinks he's hot. No.
What did you want?
Nobody. I was in my nun phase.
You know, that's when I found they all come along. They all come along, I swear to you. Yes.
Did you? Have you? So you've been in the nun phase.
I'm experiencing it currently.
That's what I was getting from you. When we had a chance to talk last weekend, everybody, Gina and I, you know, we have these fun get-togethers here at the radio station, and we just talked about it, and you said, you know what? There was a gentleman who I won't talk about right now at the party. Mm. Who was hitting on you? Did you see that?
Did I see it?
Hello?
I received the email, the first email and the second email.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. But that's interesting because, you know, I'm sort of going through this process. And and by going through it, I'm able to really be a testament of what I'm preaching, which is, you know, for years people had told me, because I've been single in L.A. since 89, and I've dated just about everybody at this point. Rock stars, movie stars, busboys.
Right, right.
You know, gardeners. I don't think I've dated a gardener, but anyway.
Have I got a guy for you,
okay,
baby?
Perfect.
Come on down. He's really cute, too.
Great.
I only have him do the tulips with his shirts off. Okay, go. Sorry.
Anyway, so so basically, you know, and you know, you're on this quest and you really want to find somebody and you can't, right? And then everybody says, well, when you stop looking, you will find it. And so, but I would always say, well, how can you stop looking? Like, it's as if you were like, you know, a person crawling through the desert desperate for water.
Right,
tell them, oh, don't look for the water. It'll, you know, it's like, what are you talking about?
Right.
But so the answer really to, you know, the search is get busy with your own life. Get passionate about something in your own life. So it's so hard and unrealistic to tell people, oh, just don't look and it'll happen. Because, you know.
Exactly.
You have to find your passion. And if you are passionate about something, which I finally am, this whole matchmaking, date coaching thing. I swear to God, Dr. Michelle, they are just
call me Michelle.
The men, thank you. The men are just, they're literally beating down my door these days.
Isn't that amazing?
I am not interested.
That's right.
I got to do my thing right now.
Well, that's the way, you know, it's so funny. I was talking to Michael, the host of Navigation, Sundays at 11 a.m., and he's very spiritual, and he has this thing that we talk about, too. But he was saying, Mark, not Michael, sorry, Mark, Mark Mallory, and he was saying that the moment we really shift our attention and focus on something else that really drives us in a passionate way, like you're doing.
Right.
You know, we want so bad something, we want. This is the fun thing I find with ladies. They want a relationship and they just focus on, they try so hard and they
totally
project
agree.
This
desperation.
Mm-hmm. And it's like sucking the air out of the room many times, you know, but.
Well, and doing
when
that too.
Defocus,
it
all comes to us.
And also, men, not only do they sense this desperation, they also, though, will kind of manipulate and prey on the neediness.
I agree.
The weakness of what's going on. And I think that then becomes the vicious cycle that they get into with getting, you know, being with jerks. Well, they're so desperate for a relationship. The guy senses that. He wants to take advantage and exploit. And then it's just like, and then she's complaining because it doesn't work out. And then she's on it. It just goes round and round.
It really does. That's what I call trying to detox the drama from my clients' lives, because it is. It's like a snowball effect. It's like, I need more. And
but
it's just drama.
If you're addicted to the drama, how do you stop being addicted to the drama?
Well, very good question, my dear.
Thank you.
Just like substance abuse, you have to stop everything. You really do. You have to withdraw, usually from a relationship that is toxic and that you're continually creating the drama from. Withdraw, shut it off, just like you're getting off the drug or the alcohol or whatever. Start looking at yourself just like you would in any substance abuse program. Find out how you and why you are doing this to yourself, the self-destructive tendencies. Pull yourself back, get your strength to love who you are, have faith, you know, in whatever you have faith in out there, whatever your agnostic or religious propensity is. Have the faith. Take a look honestly at who you are and why you've attracted what you've attracted all your life. The patterns that you keep doing, and pull, like you're doing. Say, I'm done. I'm going to change my life, my thoughts, and learn more about yourself, because you have to be really good for you and okay about who you are and what you're doing and have a passion before you can really be good for somebody else. And that's the bottom line.
And you know what? That's an awesome segue to this email that I got from this boy this week. But well, first I will tell you, it's interesting because most women do not come with, you know, a roadmap or an instruction book.
Exactly.
But in my case, I actually do, because if a man was really interested in me, he could read my blogs. And if he listened to any of my shows, he would literally have all the answers on how to woo me. Yet, Dr. Michelle, they're not doing it. And I'm just thinking, boy, you know what? I guess they're all making all the mistakes that I say about tell women, you know, look out for this, look out for this. And these guys are trying to pick me up, but yet making all the mistakes that I preach to women, like, don't fall for this. So clearly, if a guy was really interested in me, there's a very simple way to figure out how to work the angle with me. And but I don't know, they haven't figured that out yet.
No, they haven't.
And I haven't told them. So maybe they'll listen to this.
I was talking last week about communication. Mm-hmm. One of the biggies, communication. Men and women are different. The old men are from Mars.
Yes.
Guys fix things. They find solutions to things, straightforward, bada boom. They're very left brain. Women are right brain. They're communicative. They're touchy-feely. They want to talk. And the whole thing that you were talking about, getting back to that, I say, guys, shut up and listen to her. Don't tune her out, zone into the computer.
Right.
Listen. Now, if you have a woman that's yakety, I might touchy, maybe she's doing that because she doesn't feel like you are listening.
Right.
So pull back. Just kind of listen, acknowledge, and say what, and this sounds really corny, but reflective statements. Oh, so what I hear you're saying, Gina, is that you are really into this, and this is your philosophy, and you would appreciate a guy. Is that right, Gina? Wouldn't you love a guy to say that, to reflect back to you what they hear you saying on the air and in your blogs?
Sure.
And that's what the thing is the communication. Some guys don't get it.
They just don't. They just don't.
And we're not picking on guys today, are
no,
we?
No,
we're
no, not, not
doing,
at all.
We're not
in fact,
dumping on guys.
In fact, I'm actually about to read an email from a wonderful boy, because he's only 20. So young. And he is so bright. And you won't even believe how articulate he is in this letter. He saw my YouTube videos. I give advice. You know, they're not lit professionally, and they're just me in my living room on the mat.
You look great.
But I'm just trying to help. So he, thank goodness, he found his way to my videos. And he also has a video that's just wonderful on YouTube as well. It's all edited together. His handle on there. Well, no, I won't say, because I'm gonna read his letter.
Sure.
I won't. But anyway, he's very, very talented. Anyway,
is he a musician or an actor?
You know, I actually am not. I haven't quite figured out.
Okay.
I think he's more of kind of an artist, and I don't even know where he lives, because you know, with YouTube, you don't know.
Of
you
course.
Could be anywhere. But
anonymous. Yeah.
So here's what he wrote to me, and I woke up to this 2 mornings ago, and I just feel for him. All right. Mm. So anyway, he wrote, and this is from a boy, right? And so I always think guys are like, you know, I just oftentimes, or women, I think oftentimes don't get to see this side of guys. So this is kind of interesting.
Right.
Anyway, he wrote, I need some help, please. I don't know who to go to, but I found your video cast. Maybe you can help me. I'll try to be as brief and descriptive as I can. I am 20 and in a relationship with this amazing girl I met next door 3 years ago. I know 3 years may not sound like a lot to you, but it really is to me. The first year of our relationship was very rocky. She cheated on me 2 times with the same man. Mm. Yeah, my best friend found out about it, and he told me himself. It was a little longer than a month after she had last cheated on me, so I know she really never planned on telling me the truth herself. Together, we decided to make things work. I had very little trust in her, but loved her so much, and I told her this. She said that she regretted her mistakes and would help me gain her trust again. Then she cheated on me with a guy she met at work.
Nice.
Yeah, as you probably expected, my trust for her was smashed, to say the least. We agreed to make things work for a second time, but my trust was about as relevant as a decimal point to the right of a zero. Yeah. No matter how hard we tried, I still felt a ball of sorrow in the pit of my stomach telling me something was wrong. I never could find myself trusting her doing anything, but refrained from confrontation as much as possible. Even after the coworker thing a year and a half in, I still loved her so much that I threw my feelings in the closet. This is all from a 20-year-old.
Aww.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. 2.5 years into the relationship, I felt some trust coming back to me and was so happy. I felt okay letting her go out to the mall to go shopping without babysitting her, as some would say. I trusted her telling me she was doing what she was doing, and she did. It was awesome. On her sister's birthday this October 12th, they wanted to go out to a nightclub, and I asked if I was welcome to go, because I still wasn't comfortable with her going out on the nightclub scene yet.
Right.
And she said I could go if I wanted. I thought to myself, this was the perfect time to let her get the trust back.
Right.
Right. So he said, you know, hopefully I was thinking no more worrying or babysitting. I would stay at home and give her some leeway. I was confident and I told her my plan, kind of, and I told her all I wanted her to do. And this was a mistake on his part, I think, Dr. Michelle. But you know what? He's already in this spiraling thing.
Yeah.
So he said, I told her what I wanted her to do was to let me check up on her. I figured I could call her in the middle of things to see if everything was all right. She said that was fine. I stressed the importance of letting me check up on her and even put the phone on vibrate so she could feel it. She promised she would answer it. She didn't. Mm. She had her sister, and I can guarantee you this kid was worried sick all night.
Oh, sure.
She had her sister holding the phone when I called. I was disappointed and sad. Things got heated. And basically, in a nutshell, she has lost total respect for me. We've been fighting ever since. She's abused alcohol when we were fighting, and this is a strict no-no for me coming from a family with an alcoholic father, a cardinal rule of mine. Mm. In the midst of all this, I realized that my feelings were starting to fade.
Good.
It came out of nowhere. So once again, I told her this and we broke up. So once again, she assured me we could make things work out. He says, so about 4 hours ago, I told her it was over and I still love her, but I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. What should I do? She seemed like she didn't even care. Can things be fixed? She said that I will never trust her, but I feel pressured to do so. Is that normal? Are things my fault for being insecure for so long? Did I smother her? Will things really work out if we get back together? And do you really think we will? Please help. I am so lost. I think I've forgotten who I really am.
Aw, that breaks my heart.
No joke.
What
I
a cool guy.
How awesome.
How awesome is he?
Yeah, he's fabulous. And and I wrote him back and you know, I gave him my best advice, which, you know, I don't know. I'm curious to get your input.
What did you tell him?
I mean, I said that basically, you know, it's not necessarily all her fault. Of course, certainly it started with her.
Sure.
But what's happened is it's become a co-creation of this codependent,
yep,
unhealthy relationship,
yes,
that, like I said, is like a, it's a vicious cycle that they're in.
Right.
So basically, he doesn't trust her, of course, and the more he doesn't trust her, the more she pulls away, and the more she pulls away, the more he doesn't trust her, and, you know, he will never trust her.
Right.
And she will always cheat.
Right.
And
there
I
you
said,
go, baby.
You need to end it, because if you think it's hard after 3 years, how hard is it going to be after 4, after 5, after 6?
Exactly.
And
right.
And so when I said, and you know what? I said, I think you really do know the answer already. You just want me to confirm it for you.
That's wonderful. I totally agree with your advice.
Okay, great.
And, you know, the thing is what I see.
It's just hard for him to get the strength to do it, Michelle.
Sure. And, you know, he probably does have kind of low self-esteem to continue to hang in there with someone who would cheat on him.
Right.
On an ongoing basis. See, my thing is I have clients who come in to see me, ladies and men, who say my man or woman has cheated on me and I found out about it. They beg my forgiveness. They said they'll be really good and they'll show me that I can trust them. And, you know, sometimes I say, okay, if you really want to be with this person, if you trust them, if you feel that you love them, give them a second chance to prove themselves. Okay? The second time, that's the deal breaker. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
You're out of here.
That's it, the second time.
That's it.
Yeah.
You're gone. I
yeah.
mean, you know, whoever this young man is, I just say good for you for making the decision.
Right.
I'm so sorry that he had to go through 3 years.
Yeah.
His choice.
Yeah,
his
I know.
Choice.
But so young. I mean, God, I can't even imagine. So they were together when they were 17, from 17
oh
to 20,
goodness.
You know,
yeah.
And that is,
right.
Hell, I even think 3 years is a long time.
Right,
to me,
right.
That's even a long time.
I
so
know.
I understand, you know. But what I also worry about him is, and this is why I said to him, you have
yes.
to break it off and make a clean break and get yourself back on track.
Right.
I told him he's destined for great things because he's so smart.
Wow, he is.
That,
he's sharp.
You know, when you are destined for great things, being
yeah.
in that kind of a destructive relationship, what? It only holds you back.
It does. It'll
and
bring
what I'm
you
afraid
down.
Of is
yes.
that he is so great that the longer he stays in this, the more fucked up, basically,
yeah.
that he's going to get in the head. And he's
no,
going to carry
true.
That into his next relationship with a girl who might be fabulous, but he may end up sabotaging it just because of what's happened and he stayed too long in this.
Right, exactly.
So,
now, I don't know if she's still living next door.
I don't know either.
Yeah, my suggestion would be to get away from her if
yeah.
he can, in some because she's probably not going to leave because of the convenience of being near him and continuing to pull his strings
he's
and all that.
He's a rock. Why would she
oh,
want
yeah.
him to go away?
Of course.
You know what
so
I mean?
I would suggest he get out of that environment or
mm-hmm.
just really pull some boundaries and change the lock because
yeah.
I'm sure she comes in and out.
Sure.
I mean, I know that sounds, but I mean, I'm done.
Yeah. I
you,
said
you
no friends,
right?
No friends with her. You have to make a clean break and you have to walk
exactly.
away. And it's just like you said, don't you no. think also what's happening is he's getting addicted to the drama?
Totally.
Right.
He's on this, please want me, please like me. And now I would suggest to him to kind of take a look at why he's allowing her to continue. And again, he did mention that he had some alcohol.
Father, yeah.
Yeah. So he may have the biological propensity towards, you know, that addictive behavior. And there is a lot of drama in that. There's a lot of black and white thinking.
Oh, sure.
It's either all or nothing. It's either all. There's no gray sometimes in the mix. Well, let me just hold back and see what's happening here.
You're right.
Let me analyze what's going on. And so he'll go all the way out and get her again. Let's have a great, you know, relationship. We'll have great sex. Everything's all wonderful and life's good. And then a couple of weeks later, oh. So, you know, if he can kind of take a look at why he allowed someone to hurt him like that, what is it within him that says, I'm not worthy? And what you said to him, you are a worthy person. You are deserving. You're a cool guy. You sound like a doll.
Yeah.
You know, so.
He's fabulous. So, you know,
there's
a lot more women
out there.
Here's what I always say.
Yeah.
The high road is not fun.
Right.
It's no fun, really, a lot of times to take the high road. But
right.
You know what? You have to.
Yes.
And it's called the high road for a reason.
Yep.
Because it's just a better way to go. And
exactly.
It's just not always easy and it's not always fun.
No, I hear you.
You know, but it's got to be done, unfortunately. I've been there, man. I've been through all this stuff. I've been in all these kind of chaotic, dramatic relationships.
Right.
And, you know, I was with a guy, lived with a guy for, you know, only a year and a half. But, oh, my God, I was madly in love with him.
Right.
But we fought all the time. And he was a big loser, didn't want to work. He was just a loser.
Yeah, yeah.
But, boy, I hung on to him with everything I had.
Sure.
And it was horrible. And I thank God he left me. Thank
yes.
you, Jesus.
Because
I would have never back then, this was, you know, many years ago, but thank God he left me.
Yes.
Because it hurts like an MF-er when you're in it.
Yes.
And I was suffering for a good 2 years, and that's just normal. That's
sure.
how it goes,
sure.
you know?
Sure.
But you know what? You do get through it. You do survive. And then you look back and you go, oh, thank God. Thank God he left. So.
No, good for you.
Yeah.
And isn't it fun now looking back at it? Do you go, just like hit yourself on that. I should have had a V8. You know, it's like.
Yeah. And now it's like I can't even.
What's wrong with me?
The person I am now would never
exactly.
in a million years be with somebody like that.
Right.
Which is weird because we lived together. We shared a life together.
Exactly.
And yet I can honestly tell you if I passed him on the street today, we're just two totally different people.
Right.
It's like complete strangers is
yes.
how it would be.
You would have gotten the cues. Like you would get the cues right now, right up front, probably in the first sit down, coffee, chat.
Right. Right, absolutely.
Nah. You know, and there really are. There are clues, and there are, you know, heads up.
Yeah.
You know, here, how's he, is he controlling the conversation? Is he talking about himself? What is he doing? Where does he live? And this ain't about money, girls. This is about,
right.
you know, the moral character of this being.
I've dated, you know, men with no money, and I've certainly dated men with plenty of money.
Right.
And the red flags are still, they're still just as red and they're the same size and, you know.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that.
Sure.
That's really, and I hope he's listening and I hope he can, and I know you emailed him back and hopefully you guys can, you know, continue a dialogue and you can help him on a further basis. Because
I told him, you know,
cool guy.
I only sent him the email, mm-hmm. you know, this morning right before I came here. So I told him if he wanted to call in and chat with us and get the benefit mm-hmm. of both of us, mm-hmm. he could. So
cool.
I don't know if he'll get the email, but if not, you know,
yeah.
he can listen to this show.
Yes. Look for the things that you want in a woman. Define them. Write them down. Clearly be that for other people as well. And then, you know, go on your journey. And when some of those signs pop up that are not so true and they seem narcissistic or what we call histrionic in some women. Oh, my God.
What does that mean, histrionic?
You know, it's called in the DSM, it's called the
What's
it's
DSM?
An Axis II, Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders.
Okay.
It's a called an Axis II. It's a personality disorder, and it's in the cluster B, as they call it, and there are four of them, but it's one that it's called the dramatic and erratic personalities. People who love to go with the drama and really mess people over in relationships.
That would be my mother.
Right.
So I was
okay, there you go.
By somebody like that. Yes.
Yep, ditto here. Yeah. So what I'm talking about is the histrionic is very, oh my God, everything's drama.
Yeah.
It's narcissism.
Yeah.
It's
I've just been
it's all about
that
person.
That narcissism.
Oh,
lately.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one.
Interesting.
Yeah, there's a really good book out there. I want to tell folks if they're really into it. It's one of my favorite books in the whole world.
Oh.
It's about the personality disorders, and this might be great for your listener too. Why do I get involved with these type of people who hurt me? It's called Crazy Love.
Oh, okay.
And it's wonderful. It's a paperback, easy read. It's all about why do we attract the losers? guys and girls. Yes. And it defines psychologically the personality disorders in a very people-friendly way. And it tells us a little bit about ourselves and why we would choose to get involved. And it's by Kay Murray. And it's called Crazy Love. Anyway, I had her on my show. There's an archive of her on my on the website here at latalkradio.com. And it was so enlightening. Ooh, to hear. You know,
I'll get that book.
It's a great book.
Okay.
But shall I? We talked Please. A little bit earlier about, I received an email too, and it's not along the same lines of a relationship, but it's a woman who talked to me about a friend of hers.
Okay.
And it does involve substance abuse, alcoholism, and drama and abuse and mm-hmm. all that. So I thought I would, you know, address that as well. And this is not really a happy up kind of subject. It's really serious, guys. So if you know somebody who is in the same boat, listen up. Gina and I are going to maybe give you some good advice and talk about this. She said, Dear Dr. Michelle, can you discuss the importance of getting help to deal with living with an alcoholic, verbally abusive husband? I know a woman who has two kids, ages 14 and 9, and has been living this way for years. She says that the Al-Anon meetings are not scheduled on times or days that she can attend. She doesn't want him to know that she would be going to these. All right. The situation is getting worse. I've tried to convince her to leave, but she makes excuses. She doesn't think she can make it financially on her own. Her husband pays all the household bills, but she watches other people's children during the day for extra money for her and her children's other needs. Her husband won't give her any money. I can go on and on. It's not a good marriage. I live in another state and have told her to come and live with me, but she makes excuses. I feel helpless. I'm hoping she'll listen to your program and realize that she has to do something to get out of this situation. Yeah, that breaks my heart.
Does it say she's physically abused, or what kind of abuse do they say?
She didn't state specifically. I'm getting that she is physically abused.
So read that part to me one more time.
Yeah.
Just the beginning.
Let's see here. She says, her husband pays all the household bills, but she watches other people's children during the day for extra money. Her husband won't give her any money.
Can you discuss
the importance of getting help to deal with living with an alcoholic, verbally abusive?
Oh, gotcha. Yes.
Okay,
yes.
It's verbally abusive. So he's not.
Which is worse, a lot of times they say.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of damage. The problem is.
So much psychological damage.
The number one thing, of course, that just jumps out for me is get these kids the hell away from this guy.
Absolutely.
Because they're going to be on my couch, you know,
absolutely,
in a couple of years.
Maybe
you know.
That's actually the angle that the friend should take when talking to the mother of these kids.
Yes.
You know, not like so much about, you know, oh, you need to get away from him, but more like, mm-hmm. you know, if you don't want your daughter or your son to repeat that behavior, because guess what? They will.
Yes.
Even if you don't think so now and they hate what he's doing, they're going to be doing it. So
exactly.
If you love your children and even be like that, even
right.
be like, come at it like that. If you love your children, because what's she going to say?
Right.
Then you will let me help you, or you will get the help you need and get out of the situation.
That's a wonderful point of view. I totally agree. If she won't take care of herself.
Right.
If she's allowing this abuse, and that's a whole other thing for therapy. I mean, why do you think you deserve this? I don't know about this woman's background. I suspect there's abuse in her home, and she growing up was mm-hmm. in her home, and she has incredible low self-esteem and thinks somehow that she has to deserve this, and I know it's tough for her. Al-Anon meetings are wonderful. They do help support the individuals who are living with alcoholics or other substance abuse users. It is a wonderful support system, several times a week, you know, to get. Now, she say, I get a little feeling of excuses going on here. The meetings are not on the right days. Not.
Right, right.
Now, you find friends to babysit and you go.
Yeah.
And you see, the problem is that she's not having the chutzpah to speak up to this guy and say, I need to go to Al-Anon to cope with your substance abuse because it's really messing up the kids and scaring the kids and really freaking me out, and I'm not going to deal with this anymore. Seems like, you know, she doesn't. It's all about finances too, which is really tough when you're the victim.
That's the topic of on everybody's mind this month, this, you know, this day and age anyway.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but maybe even, you know, another idea is if she did join, whether it's a woman support group or Al-Anon, but maybe she could even meet another lady who's in her situation.
Yes.
And maybe they could both support each other
mm-hmm.
to moving and sharing mm-hmm. a place and mm-hmm. getting, you know what I mean? And mm-hmm. and helping each other financially. I'll keep your kids while you work. You keep mine. And you know what I mean? And kind of be a support system for each other.
That's a wonderful idea.
But
it really is.
I feel like Michelle, that she's been taken hostage
yes.
at this point by
yes,
this guy.
Absolutely.
And it's that hostage mentality. What do they call that syndrome?
Right, exactly.
Stockholm syndrome.
Yes, Stockholm syndrome.
Where you
exactly.
identify with
right.
your
captor.
Captor, exactly,
yes, exactly.
And sympathize with him.
Right.
And unfortunately, that's, I think, what's happened. Mm-hmm. And I don't know mm-hmm. what the end, what's really going to be her mm-hmm. her bottom.
Right.
Because she's going to have to get that. Reach the bottom. Maybe when he starts, verbally abusing the kids, if he's not, which
right, exactly.
I'm sure he probably
oh,
is.
Sure.
I don't know.
And or hitting her and or
yes.
getting so drunk that he's passing out, which probably is the case right now in front of the kids. He's a rageaholic, as I call it, out mm-hmm. of control. And the kids, if she's not going to help herself, like you said, for God's sakes, help the kids. I love this woman who wrote to me because she's really,
yeah.
at this point, she's really trying to pull her
she
friend in.
She cares about her friend.
And if you're listening and you can tell your friend what we have been talking about, it is essential that she gets out of there for her children's safety mm-hmm. and health.
Mm-hmm.
It is essential. She needs to help herself as well to get... if you're not strong yourself and if you're not taking care of yourself, you're not going to be anything to the kids. So she, number one, has to get it together. Support systems in the area, wonderful. What I can do is I will go ahead and confidentially email back the writer and I will give her maybe some 800... numbers for support groups.
Great.
She doesn't really specify the area that she's in, but there are general 800 lines that she can get
sure.
or talk to someone for support groups. My feeling is this is beyond Al-Anon. Yeah, go to the Al-Anon groups indeed. Get the heck out of there trying to find someone who you can do. And I love this woman who says she can come live with me in another state. I will open my arms to her.
And a couple things I'm thinking as you're reading yeah. this. Well, one, the best case scenario at this point is that this loser husband guy
yeah.
meets another woman and runs off with her.
Right.
That would be a blessing.
Yes, it would.
Let's hope for that.
Yeah.
Or the other thing is that, now I knew I was going to forget, dang, I don't know. It'll come back to me.
Yeah.
It'll come back. Oh, well, yeah. I was thinking too, maybe she could even get her children in a support group.
That's a wonderful idea.
And maybe
idea.
The friend could suggest that. Well, if you don't have the time, if you can't do it, get the kids. So then maybe the kids then, if they start getting help, will maybe light a fire under mom's ass.
That's a really good idea.
It's just an idea too.
He does pay the household bills, but again, she watches over other people's children so she can make some extra cash. Obviously, she has cash deficits, so she's
sure.
doing her part. Maybe in some way she can, do more of that. I think she should just get away from him or, sometimes you have to, of course, draw the boundary and say, I'm out of here unless you go to AA.
Right.
Or whatever group is going to help you.
Right.
And you need to show me, or the kids are gone. I'm taking the kids away, and I'm going to divorce you and make you go away in my life because I will not stand. But again, it's that Stockholm syndrome thing that, you get so dependent on someone and you keep hoping. And the thing with abusers, if they abuse substances, which most of them do, then they verbally, physically, rage.
Mm-hmm.
Abuse, and then the next day they apologize. They're absolutely. Sober, and they're appalled. I'm so sorry. I'll never do it again. And the wife's got bruises, or
sure.
She and the kids have really been up all night screaming and crying, and the kids are all whatever. The kids are going to be suffering the most because they're going to hate their dad.
Absolutely,
they're going to hate this guy,
absolutely.
And then they're going to have issues, daddy issues, and
oh, sure.
men issues, and
please.
Whatever.
Yes.
So, anyway.
Get out while you can.
Yeah.
Or help your, she's doing the right thing. And, it's also a thing, it's a testament to women
yep.
and just friendship in general that, and I've seen this time and time again, and it's a shame, but like so many, you have so many great girlfriends.
Right.
And then as soon as they get involved in a relationship,
right.
they are out of there and
yeah.
you're on the back burner and, and then when they need you again or the boyfriend or husband's out of town or leaves them or whatever,
yeah.
you're back on the front burner again.
Right, right.
And, I just think that that's a shame. I know that you are supposed to, they say, put your husband first and all this and that, but you know what? I'm sorry. When the chips are down, your women friends will always be there for you. And I cannot
right.
say that your husband will.
That's
right. I
hate
to say that, but...
Well, no. If he's,
just,
if
you
he's
have
showing
to really,
tendencies, sure.
Well, and you have to still just keep your girlfriends in and not put them on the back burner. You have to manage equal time, I think. And that's coming from a single lady who often gets put on the back burner. But yeah, no, but I've seen it.
A support system is one of the most important things you have, you know.
And her friend is really there for her.
Oh, that's so neat. And yeah, she really is.
I hope she appreciates, you know, it.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. But I will go ahead and write back to you and give you maybe some 800 numbers that you can only, you, look. We can only take our friends to the water hole and they need to drink. And
absolutely.
They're so, I mean, and it's so heartbreaking to see someone mm-hmm. that's allowing verbal, which may escalate into physical abuse. It's
sure.
really sad. So anyway, hang in there, girl. And you're wonderful. God bless you for mm-hmm. being her support system.
You're a great friend.
Keep bugging her. Keep yes. emailing her. Keep texting her. Keep talking to her. Say, get the hell out of there. And, you know, you can download this show and play it back for her as well. And listen to what Gina and I have said. So hopefully that'll help you. And she may hate us, but oh well. Sometimes somebody needs tough love.
Yes.
Everybody
yes.
needs tough love.
I mean, I have a fabulous person that I know mm-hmm. who has, I won't go into huge details because mm-hmm. it's got me in trouble before, but she's fabulous and beyond mm-hmm. fabulous. Mm-hmm. I mean, every guy mm-hmm. likes her, and it's not because she's, you know, like Giselle, the, you know, Victoria's
right.
Secret model, but
right.
she's just got this inner beauty, and she is beautiful on the outside, but she's just the coolest girl ever.
Wow.
Cool.
Right.
And she's just been in a relationship that, you know, she's been stuck in for far too long.
Right.
And, you know, she is going through the steps these days to get help, but she's still living with, I'm still waiting for it to be over, and I can't wait because she's
yes.
just so wonderful that,
aww.
But, you know, I have this whole theory. I'm mm-hmm. actually going to be speaking at Pepperdine soon. On
when?
November the 4th.
Okay.
And, you know, I was been thinking about what I'm going to talk about. And, you know, one of the things that I really want to talk about mm-hmm. at Pepperdine, and it relates to all this, is that I have a theory that I just think love is overrated.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
You know
and
know
why
what?
Do you feel that?
I feel that because I just think that, you know, if you say to yourself, you know, I remain in this unhealthy relationship
right.
because I love him. It's
well,
like,
yes, I
then
get that.
You see what I mean? Or,
sure, sure.
You know, and I just think that we think love, that, oh, my heart beats fast, is so much more important than his moral character.
Exactly.
That's
I
when,
agree.
So
no,
when
that's
I say love is overrated,
thing to speak on.
You know, I just think too many people base their picking someone
right.
over, you know, whether he gives you butterflies or,
right,
you know,
right.
makes your heart skip a beat. And I think there's so many other things to look for when choosing a mate.
I hear you. I totally agree.
Because they can either bring you up mm. or bring you down.
That's right.
And once
you
you're in
that.
There,
mm-hmm.
you're done, man.
That's
you're
right.
stuck.
Exactly.
Because once you're in love, forget about it.
That's
you're
right.
done.
And this love thing, you're right.
You see?
And this love thing is, you know, I try to define, you know, maybe some people say, you're just too analytical. You're just too analytical. You got to let it flow. You got to let the love thing happen. Well, yeah, I'm in love. I'm still in love with my husband after 20 years.
Sure.
What I found too, and the steps that I give to people to really define healthy relationships. You love somebody. Okay, that is an unspoken chemical reaction. And I'm not just talking about the pheromones and the sex.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not just talking about that. That's a biggie.
Sure.
That's
huge.
They got to look good to you. They got to feel good to you. It's got to all work. But if that's all there is, you know, I was talking to a guy last night that kept saying to me, but Dr. Michelle, she's so hot. Okay, you're in L.A. Go to a club. How many hot women are there?
Right.
All
right. A dozen.
Thank you. So, you know, I say it's about, like you said, but also it's about respect.
Absolutely.
Aretha said it, baby. You've got to respect that person. You may love her, like I told him last night. You may love her because she's hot and you have great connection and chemistry. And, you know, for the moment you're together and she's, oh, I hear you and listening to you and it's all good. But then she's treating you like a dog.
Right.
You know, you need to like her. You got to belly up to the bar buddy
right.
with her. You got to be her best pal and respect her.
Right.
Which
does
he doesn't.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. And he has to respect himself.
That's exactly right.
Does he?
Obviously.
Don't know.
No, I don't think
I
he
know.
Does. Well, and here's the thing. Sometimes between men and women, the difference between testosterone mm-hmm. and progesterone and estrogen. Testosterone, you know, come on. Woo, it's good. Men are just about, you know.
Sex.
Straightforward. Visualization, let's do it. She must care for me. Men are about actions.
Okay.
She must love me because she is having sex with me. She is showing me the behaviors, you know,
right.
and that means she loves me and it's all good and it feels good and she's there when I need her and all that. So rather than let's talk about it, how do I feel? Do I respect her? Oop, she's looking good. Let's go to bed. You know,
right.
So, and I'm not, again, I'm not dumping on guys. You know, we women have all this stuff going on too, which we need to deal with.
We pick them too.
Exactly.
Yep, absolutely.
So,
it takes two to tango.
It does. So, no, good point, Gene. I hear you. Well, do you want to do a couple of dates from hell?
Sure, we can do
the
dates from hell.
I can
talk
relationships
about anything, all
from
relationships
hell.
All day long.
See, this is a nice segue because it's time for the toe licker date.
Oh, God, help us. All right, let's hear that thing. Yeah, bring it on.
Bring it on, baby. Dear Dr. Michelle. I've been conversing with this guy for about 2 weeks over the phone and via email. He was established. In other words, the vice president, she says VP of a company. Well-educated, well-spoken, funny, and good-looking. Seemed to have everything going on without having that too-good-to-be-true syndrome. So I agreed to a date. I met him at a local place closer to his house. That's a good plan. Meet out the first date. Don't let him pick you up.
Okay. All right. I guess so.
I think. You know, it's safe.
No. It is safe. It is safe. The first time, for sure.
Sure.
And if you trust him, then he needs to pick you up.
But, yeah.
Okay.
While having drinks and waiting for our table, I couldn't help but notice that he was staring at my feet. Now, I do keep them manicured well, and I thought, okay, maybe he's admiring them. LOL. Next thing you know...
he asked to put my shoes on.
He leans in close and wants to ask me a question. They're having a couple of drinks. Apparently, yeah. They're feeling good. And I hear this, and no, she says, I'm not kidding, in parentheses. Quote, he says to her, I've been admiring your feet all night and want to know if you'd let me suck your toes and lick them.
Okay, could I have been a fly on the wall to see her face? I would pay money to have seen her reaction. Holy smokes.
Oh, boy. Okay.
And I got to know what she's going to say next.
No, this was her question to me. This is what...
I wonder, what did she say to him, for God's sake? I want to know how
it.
The rest of the date
this
went.
This is all I got.
Dang.
This
I
is
that.
All I got. Yeah,
I
this
mean,
is all
okay,
I got.
Okay, so I want to know, okay, then what do? You stand up and say, I'm going to the bathroom and you
Oh, wait. Let me scroll down. There's more.
Oh, good.
But wait.
Oh, please.
I feel like I'm doing one of those infomercials. Yes. But wait.
Yes.
There's more.
Good.
For $19.99, you can listen to the rest of her...
Oh, please tell me why.
Oh, here we go.
All right.
I am so sorry, guys. I apologize. I must just scroll down. Thank you. After he asked her to lick her toes, as you can imagine, I sat there and without missing a beat, I grabbed my purse, told him I was leaving.
Okay.
And then if he followed me out, he'd find a surprise waiting for him and not a good one.
Ah, good for her.
He sent me several emails after that and asked for me to forgive him and wanted to see me again. But I told him that I was moving.
I told him my husband's getting out of jail tomorrow.
That's right.
So that really wouldn't work out.
Well, in hindsight, it was hilarious that it was a little much for the first date. So no to any future dates. Thanks, but no thanks. That is her conclusion. I think that's hysterical. I mean,
oh, my heavens.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and the thing is, I mean, she couldn't have seen it coming, I don't think.
Yes.
You know?
No. Good-looking guy, seemingly successful, mm-hmm. has his act together. Mm-hmm. And this is the thing a lot of people say, what's wrong with me? You know, I had a couple of dates and he seems so normal, or she seems so normal. And, you know, we're all on good behavior. Come on. When we're looking for love.
Absolutely.
In whatever manifestation we'd like it to be, whether it be toe licking or, you know, whatever fetish we may be.
I mean, in a way, she's so lucky that, you know, because, you know, women get so offended. Because I also have, just so you mm-hmm. you know, and your listeners, mm-hmm. I have a, you know, meetup.com. Are you familiar with meetup.com?
Yes.
Meetup.com has a, you know, meetup site for anything mm-hmm. you're into. Wine mm-hmm. tasting, coffee
yeah.
drinking, maybe toe licking. I have no idea.
Who knows?
But I have a group on Meetup that I started called, which is what my company's called, Selective and Single. I have a website, selectiveandsingle.com.
Very nice.
For my matchmaking. But for Meetup, I'm doing it on there as well, right? So Selective and Single, you can look it up under Meetup. You can join my group, whatever.
Good.
I'm doing a little matchmaking, just
Let's
a little bit armchair matchmaking on there. But
sure.
anyway, so one of the ladies was offended because one of the men on there had posted something about, you know, I like perky round breasts, okay? And I can
Which
agree.
Which guy doesn't? Hello?
I know, right? And I can agree it's offensive, but here's what I say. Please make the jackasses easy to spot.
Yes.
That's a blessing.
There you go.
So that guy was, it was a blessing that he presented himself
yes.
toe licking.
Right.
And this other guy, I like perky breasts, from the get-go. I wish they all wore a big sign on their chest saying, I'm a jackass,
right.
know, stay back.
Yes.
We wouldn't waste our time.
Wouldn't that be
so
hysterical?
So in a way, she was very lucky.
Yeah, she was
she
lucky.
She could have found out 3 months in or 5 years in that he's just got this weird fetish. And a lot of women find that out, you know, how people find out years and years after they've been married
yes.
about secrets that their partner had. How does that happen?
I have a friend who I met out of college. actually. She had been married a couple of times, had rocky relationships. She finally met a guy who is really similar in that he's successful. He's in the media. He's not a bad looking guy. He's really cool. He's really sweet. I really like him. Mm-hmm. She married him. And a couple of years later, she revealed to me that he has a shoe fetish. And he does, he's into feet as well. They do have, I guess, sex. But I mean, I guess.
But she has but to wear shoes.
She does.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it's not put on. It's not like a regular guy going put on the high heels and the garter belt and ooh, you know, right. dance for me or whatever. You know, it's come yeah. on. We're mixing it up. We're making it fun.
Yeah.
He is full on. He, you know, she's standing in front of him trying to make out, and they're having, you know, passion and all that. And he ain't looking at her perky round boobs or anything else. He's looking at her feet and her shoes. Now she goes along with it because she loves the man and wants to keep him. She allows him to fondle her shoes. Guys, if we're getting too gross, just stay hanging with us. We'll be off the subject soon. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
We'll be off this air soon. Yeah, TJ's going to be tapping on the glass in a couple minutes.
Yes, he is. He's going to be tapping on our glass, baby. Don't tap on my glass.
I know, right?
So anyway, she's agreed to this, and she overlooks some of this stuff. He can do the shoes and rub them against his cheeks, if you pardon the expression. Mm-hmm. And you do whatever he does and feel her feet, and then they can go ahead and have sex. But she allows this. And hey, God bless her. If this works for you, girl, fine. If it's to each his own. But
I'm curious, yeah. though, from your point of yeah. view, your expertise, do you think that his weirdness will spin out later on? Like, will he keep getting weirder? Is that a potential?
You know, sometimes they get weirder. He's been quite consistent for many years.
Okay.
I'm happy to say. You know, and they say that fetishes, if you read the literature, are started, you know, with early behavioral patterns, whatever they may be.
Maybe
pacifiers. Maybe not so Freudian, but more like when daddy would yell and scream when I was a little boy, I'd run into the closet and hide. Oh. And there were mommy's shoes.
Interesting.
And I would hold on to mommy's satin red shoes.
And they comforted
me. Mm-hmm. Isn't that, you know?
Yeah.
Or sometimes when it was really getting outrageous, I'd go into the mommy's and daddy's bedroom and mommy's underwear would be there. And I'd look at it and I'd go, oh, that's mommy. That's comforting.
Oh.
You see?
That's fascinating.
So it's a connection. It's a behavioral trait learned. And it's just, you know, after a while, we all knee jerk to comfort and whatever makes us feel better. It's behavior modification.
Oh.
So sometimes these fetishes and things are developed, they say, in theory, from some of those early environmental
things. It makes sense.
Things.
Because really everything comes from, seems right. like everything comes from our childhood.
Yeah.
One way or another.
Yeah.
My God.
So.
You know?
Everything's, sure. you know, embedded, emblazoned on the brain.
Deep, deep, deep.
And we are survivors.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, you know, whatever, and I always say this, whatever they get from their environment, whatever they buy into, whatever they are told who they are by their parents, you know, you're not worthy, you're stupid, you'll never amount to anything. Whatever those messages are, we, of course, buy into them. And for years, we carry them around. This mm-hmm. is the case with most of my clients. They have these old messages that are so emblazoned on the brain and so firmly embedded that they relate to the world coming from that place. I'm
sure.
not worthy. I'm not good enough. And therefore, the women and the men pick people who
right.
really are not good for them. So
right.
the job here is to have folks really understand they are worthy and all those messages are not true about who they really, really are. And they have to get rid of it and be okay with who they are and forgive themselves
right.
for making unwise choices in their lives.
And if you have children, you got to make sure that you do not even accidentally transfer those messages onto them.
Exactly.
You have to try to build their self-esteem because once they're grown, I mean, really, that's what we're talking about. That's what all these making bad choices and
exactly.
everything comes down to, your self-esteem.
Exactly.
So you got to figure out how to build those kids up before they, you know.
That's right.
Because 40 and still single.
No, you're right. The kids will make survival choices.
Sure.
And some of them will really need medication, possibly. Some of them will need therapy, possibly.
Absolutely.
Because they try, it's all about survival. Everybody on this planet, however they choose to survive from their early abusive or whatever environment that is scary, you know, they make choices to adjust and they make wrong choices about partners and they do stupid things and experiment and all that. So just getting healthy is recognizing that, you know, you aren't that and cleaning up all that old stuff. And sounds easy to do, but takes work sometimes, you know. So
I know.
And on that note.
And we're going to, have you told everybody about our workshop. Are we calling it a workshop? Are we calling it a panel discussion?
I like both.
Yeah, I like panel discussion maybe. But any, yeah, have you talked about that yet?
I have not talked about it. I'm kind of waiting for a little, you know, more really make
concrete.
It for... We and the ladies, the love ladies of LA Talk Radio, we're all trying to, you know, get together, like you said, a forum from different aspects on, you know, making relationships work and how to help yourself and empower yourself. Mm-hmm. And you have a wonderful perspective. So we'll firm up more information on that.
But we're aiming for the end of January.
That's a great idea.
Here in Los Angeles. And so, I'm going to make this thing happen one way or another.
I know you are.
I may not be talking to you every day, but my wheels are turning constantly.
Great, honey. That's awesome. And we're looking forward to it. Good. Gina Hendricks, thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you so much for being here.
You're a doll. It's so nice to have
you. And everybody, you know, they can find me at my website, selectiveandsingle.com.
selectiveandsingle.com,
selective
folks.
And single. And email me questions. I like to help.
I think that's a great idea, folks. Do that, please. And of course, thank you again, Gina Hendricks. Listen to her Wednesdays here on latalkradio.com. 11 a.m. Love, come on.
Love Life Makeovers.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on. You're so fun.
So are you. Always a pleasure.
So fun.
Thank
great.
You, doll.
Thank you.
Folks, it's Dr. Michelle. I'm getting off the couch now. And you can find me at drmichelletherapy.com, drmichelletherapy.com. Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful weekend. TJ McCormick's next, of course. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Got you on my mind again tonight. Seeing flashing rays of colored light. Come back here so I can get you.